Welcome to this inspiring message from Grace Life Church. We do hope you enjoy it. For more information about us, please see our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
We're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to hear from a few people in the time we have left. Lovely. Might hear from you, Matt. Dan. Maybe. But first of all, I'd like to welcome Owen, who's going to start off. Pastor Paul's been running a series on relationships and building great people. So we'll be continuing that theme about things that are important, that we consider important in relationships. Welcome, Owen.
Thank you. Well, morning again, church. So, what Martin shared about making a decision is actually really important. And if we all were to take that to heart, do you know how different our lives would be? A couple of, it may have even been last week, Pastor Paul said something and it brought a whole bunch of stuff back to me. He said, "Your words are a tremendous creative force." Now, when it comes to relationships, families, friends, your words create a tremendous force. Do you know that when you speak, the most powerful voice in the universe has spoken? Not even God can top that. Did you know that? He has given you, as Carrie just said, free will. What you decide, what you speak, occurs in your heart. If we could only believe that. See, here's the issue. We don't truly believe it. We might believe it in our head, but in our hearts, that's why the Bible says, with all diligence, guard your heart. But we don't truly believe it. And when we do believe it, we don't feel like doing it. Guarding our mouths, guiding our tongues, watching the thoughts that we have. And when you're speaking into the lives of your spouse, into the lives of your children, wow, you don't believe it? The whole Bible is about things like that. Proverbs 11:9. Evil words destroys one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly. While I'm saying this, I want you to think about things that you have said in the last week. I want you to think of things that you have said to your spouse, to your friends, to your children. Now, we're not a condemnatory church here. We believe in restoration and the love. But let's learn something. Let's today decide that what the Bible says is true. Watch your mouth. Your heart is incredibly rich. It is a rich soil. Your words are powerful seeds. I heard it before, but it always stuck in my mind after Pastor Paul stated it. Your thoughts are like trains. They take you somewhere. When you speak, you plant a seed. That seed grows into a sapling. That sapling goes into a tree. Those trees bear fruit. What do you say? What do you say to yourself? What do you say to other people? So I can only speak from my own example. And talking about families and children. My wife and I, Chrissy, we both had our upbringing where, let's just say, certain negative seeds were planted constantly. And we thank God for it. Because before we got married and before we had children, we actually spoke, discussed, and made a decision about the words that we would speak into our lives. So in our household, we never say, shut up. We never tell anyone to shut up. In fact, you guys have never heard me say that, ever. When we have heated debates, we're not perfect, by the way. In fact, when the debates have been incredibly heated, and she's refused to apologize, and refused to accept that she's the one that's made the mistake, in those situations, words do slip. Where's the slip? But I'll be honest with you, it is very rare. Because we actually made the decision and we made the commitment. Anderson's here. You can ask him, what negative words have either of us ever stated to him? We made a commitment. Did we smack them? Yes. The wooden spoon that used to be his best friend at one stage. That was the joke in the house. But I think they're pretty normal, well-adjusted kids. I think. But it starts with the words. It starts with a decision about the words that you're going to use, yeah. Again, Caroline, Martin, Pastor Paul, always talks about your feelings. I don't feel like it. Do you know what? The other reason why we don't believe the power of words is because there is this disconnect between the words that are spoken and the actual fruit, generally speaking, unless they're really bad words, you know what I'm saying? But generally speaking, there's a disconnect of time. Thank God for that. Because if there wasn't, most of us wouldn't actually make it out of this room alive. My God, he's boring me to death. My backside is killing me. So, there is a time delay because there's growth. That's the order of the universe that we're in, this time. But make no doubt, or have no doubt, your words create your world. If you're continually telling yourself, I'm tired, I'm sick of this, it hurts. What, so you speak things like that and then expect a glorious life? God created us in his image. That image is the creative powers. He spoke things into existence. There is nothing closer to you outside of Jesus, I hope, than your spouse, than your children, than your immediate family. than your family here, your church, your Christian sisters and brothers. That's why when we were in East London, we would travel miles to get to this church, because they believe in the gospel. The gospel is about increase. The gospel is about restoration. The gospel is about love. It's about joy, peace, mercy. And haven't we all felt that today? Yeah. That's why we made that decision. Love. It's about love. Your words need to be about love, kindness, gentleness, patience, faithfulness, mercy, grace. Those are the seeds that you want to be sowing. Those are the seeds that you want to be sowing. Your heart is rich. So with all diligence, guard it. Make sure that your orchard is beautiful. Thank you. And I'd like to bring up the beautiful Maisel.
Thank you. Well, like what Owen said, it's all about love, relationship, building relationships. Again, you build good relationships in your family. Yeah, we are a family. So it's not just my household family, but is this family, is the relationship we build. We need to have trust. We need to have love. Yeah, now, just like Owen, with my boys, I always say to them, no, don't say that. Now, boys get heated up. They fight. There's lots of play fighting going on. When they were kids, I used to play fight with them. It gets rowdy, and sometimes they may say some nasty words. But as soon as they say that, I pull them up, take it back, apologize, and re-say what you've said again in a more positive way. Because words are powerful. Words are powerful. As they grew up, when they're going for jobs, we play interview roles. Because obviously I'm a manager, and so I get what I want. I ask them questions, what a manager would want to see in them. Dan will be like, oh, no, I can't. So of course you can. You are the best you are. You're the best. And because of who you are, you will be picked for that job. So you put them in that positive frame. You speak to them and you let them know they can do anything they put their minds to. Because they can. They can. They can do anything. Whatever. If they want that job, they will get it. They will go for it. But that's how you bring them up. That's how you make them know. They believe in themselves, because that is what God says about you. That is what God says about you. Now, if we're in a relationship, like I said, yes, we have respect. Yes, we have trust. They are free to speak to me if I do something they don't want, because they've got that respect for me. They're not going to be abusive to me. They dare not. Yeah, because they've got that respect. And so they can look at you and they think, okay, maybe what you're doing is not right. Maybe we can do it this way. And you think, actually, hold on. Yeah, because just because they're young doesn't mean they don't have a mind of their own. So in a family like this, if I've got respect for you, I can actually come to you and say, hey, is everything all right? And because you've got the love, the respect, the honor, you can then communicate. Now, if someone's in bad shape, they may say, oh, no, everything's all right. But if you know them well, you lead them back, and then you go again. Are you sure everything's okay? Yeah, you don't leave them there. Why? Because we're family. We go places together. I see you're struggling. I will pull you with me. You understand? You're struggling, so I will pull you up because we love each other. Now, if we can do that to our natural family, how much more God can do that in our relationship with Him? You know, the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. You wouldn't see, yes, we are imperfect, but we see our loved ones, my husband, my kids, they're perfect to me. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. Because you love them, you can overlook what they do wrong and build them up on what they do right and see that what they do right actually surpasses what they do wrong. And that's how God sees us. That's how God sees us. God sees us as His perfect children. He doesn't look at our wrongs. He doesn't listen to what we've done in the past. He sees us and He sees that, mate, I love you, and this is where I want you to go. And He will take you there. You just have to trust Him. Hold that love. Respect one another and listen to each other. Listen to each other. That's all I've got to say.
Hello again. Hello again, church. To follow Owen's notes. It was amazing. Both people were just such gems, you know what I mean? They're such rich thoughts that can really change people's lives. And I'd just like to share very briefly now about the importance of honouring people and respecting people. Yeah, I think that's quite a good one, and I think that really helps in work. I work in for the church, but I also work in school. I've got a poster there which I made myself, saying wherever you are, be there, because people don't always remember what you say, but they remember how you make them feel. And it's just a simple thing that if you're having a conversation with them, make them feel special, make them feel respected, make them feel honoured. Just give them your attention, you know. Don't sort of sit there on the mobile phone. We're all doing it. I get tempted to do it as well. But just really give them your 100% attention, and they'll respect you for it. They'll love talking to you. Ask them questions. Make them feel important. Make them feel valued. Make them... sorry. All these hecklers. Make them feel valued. Yes, go, yes, right. So just try it. When you're in work, when you have a conversation, look people in the eye. I know it's silly to actually have to say things like that, but when I did, and I used to work for Canons, they used to say, when people come round for a tour, say hello. Hello. Smile. Seriously. Look people in the eye. Ask them how they are. And when they go, shake their hand and say goodbye. And I was thinking, why are they telling people that? Because to me, it's a no-brainer that you should do that. But honestly, most people don't do that, it seems. Otherwise, we wouldn't be taught it in a training situation. But those simple little things, just looking at people, giving them your attention, will make them feel valuable and loved, yeah, and honoured. And I was thinking about the Bible and how Jesus did this. And there's the lady who was caught in adultery. Just one story. Obviously, there's lots and lots and lots of stories. But he didn't condemn her. He sided with her. He sympathised with her and made her feel valuable. Everybody else despised her. They wanted to stone her because they thought she was rubbish, that she'd done the wrong thing, and she had, but I don't know where the man was. But they were going to take it out on her because they didn't value her. So she must have felt awful. She must have felt like dirt. And she was considered by those people like the lowest of the low because of what she'd done. But Jesus didn't talk to her like that. He respected her. He loved her. He brought something out of her that she didn't know was in there. And that's something that we can all do because we all carry Jesus. And then there's the other story, the lady in the when Jesus meets the woman at the well. You know the story, so I don't need to tell the whole story. But, you know, he says, Jesus said, go and get your husband and bring him here. And she says, but I'm not married, the woman answered. That's true, Jesus said. He didn't say, you're a sinner. He said, for you've been married 5 times and now you're living with a man who is not your husband. You've told the truth. Yeah? He didn't condemn her. He Actually, I think he felt sorry for her. He pitied her because he thought, poor woman, she's had five relationships and they've all failed. He sympathised with her. He loved her. He spoke into her life. And then later on, he calls her. He says, Jesus responded, further on in the story, he said, Jesus responded, believe me, dear woman. He's just showing love to a lady that obviously has messed up her life and, you know, in certain respects. Might not have been her own fault, I don't know. But he didn't condemn her. He loved her. He loved her. And what happened because of that, she went out and she was probably the best evangelist or one of the best evangelists in the whole of the Bible, you know? And her story is written in this book. But he had a choice. Go back to Martin and saying, he could have said something, like the Pharisees would have. But he didn't. He chose to love her. He chose to respect her. He chose to find the gold in her. And because he did that, she went on and she continued preaching the gospel and sharing the good news in that community. And probably that whole town got saved because of her, because he respected and valued that lady. So what I'm just encouraging you now, when we're going to life this week, when you meet people, wherever you are, be there. Smile, say hello. No, but just really look for the golden people, respect people, draw it out of them, get them to talk about themselves, and just really value them and make them feel special and make them feel important, just as Jesus did. And I could add to that, when we're praying, because I find the same distractions as probably you all do, if you're honest, I feel like my mind goes. And I'm thinking, hang on, this is God. I really need to give him my 100% attention as well. So it's not only people, it's God. And we all fall by the wayside that way. Our minds go, or we think the phone, or we, you know, get distracted. Try not to be distracted with people, and don't be distracted with God either. And then if you give him your 100%, you'll hear from him, your lives will change. And, come on, yes, come on. So that's what we're going to do this week. Amen? Okay. So I think we'll close there. Just pray for the people, I think. Pray for our beautiful people. Yes? Okay, it's like everybody to stand up. Thank you, Jesus. If you could have the music, that'd be great, Paul. Oh, just thank you. Just like everybody to close their eyes. Just be aware of God's presence. And think of something that's been said this morning that really resonates in your heart. Not in a condemning way, but something like, I can adjust myself like that. Or if I do that, life will just work for me better. And life will work better for those around me. Just make a decision to choose to do something different. As people say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. But we can choose to change that. It might be our words, as Owen mentioned. We could think, I'll count to three before I say that. Simple things like that, but it can change life overwhelmingly. Well, it might be something Maisel said about the way she's brought up her children and about thinking about the words and thinking about positive things to say to people. It could be in work. Don't look at the faults in people. Look at the things they do well. Encourage people. You can practice it. You don't have to be a great encourager, but we can all be better at encouraging people. It says love overlooks a transgression. It covers all. If we love people, we won't focus on the little things that they do or that irritate us or the mistakes people make, because we'll be thinking about the bigger picture, about all the good things they do, about the good things we do. We talk to ourselves like that. It's so easy to say, Caroline, why don't you do that? But really, I should be saying good things about myself and those around me. And it might be just that you get distracted on the phone, and when you talk to people, you think, actually, I should give people 100% attention when I speak to them. And it's so easy now with the days of social media to be distracted. Maybe we just say, no, we won't have the phones at the table. if we go out for coffee, we won't be playing on our phone while we're sitting down and having a coffee and a chat and a conversation with somebody. When the boss walks in, don't carry on writing. Put your pen down, look at him or her, and give them your attention. Simple things, but it can really improve relationships. So thank you, God. Thank you, Father, that those ideas have come into us, Lord God. I ask you to water them. Let them those seeds grow in our hearts, Lord God, and help us. Holy Spirit, help us, prompt us to make those adjustments in our lives to improve our relationship with each other and improve our relationship with you. Amen.